Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And when President Obama gave an education speech this week, we'll play a few clips. A speech still surprising to many for how much it went against some of the positions of the teachers' union. It certainly brought a smile to the faces of Mayor Bloomberg and New York City Schools Chancellor Joel Klein, because it sounded a lot like the stuff that they've been doing here in New York City, like on expanding charter schools and judging teachers based partly on their students' performance, or at least wanting to. The president called for changes that might be tough sells in other circles as well, like aiming toward college for all, making standardized tests more difficult, and lengthening the school year. Whoever's ready to give up summer vacation, raise your hand. How does this affect us locally? Well, for one thing, the president did support, in effect, many of the reforms of Bloomberg and Klein. So let's talk about it. With us, the New York City Schools Chancellor, Joel Klein, who has been the mayor's point man since right from the start, almost 8 years ago. Chancellor Klein, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be with you, Brian.
And let me play a clip right away from the president on good teachers, rewarding good teachers for their jobs.
Good teachers will be rewarded with more money for improved student achievement and asked to accept more responsibilities for lifting up their schools. Teachers throughout a school will benefit from guidance and support to help them improve. And just as we've given our teachers all the support they need to be successful, we need to make sure our students have the teacher they need to be successful. And that means states and school districts taking steps to move bad teachers out of the classroom.
You like that?
Well, I think those are key principles. What he's talking about is rewarding success and giving support to teachers, which is very important to make sure that all teachers have the opportunity to succeed. But in the end, everyone knows that the key to a great education is great teachers. And I think the president was talking about this throughout the campaign, and I think the speech was bold. And I think it's visionary, and if you look at the various components, Brian, I think it echoes a lot of what the mayor has done in the city, but more importantly, charts a way for the nation to deal with both the global achievement gaps that we've talked about many times and the racial and ethnic achievement gaps. So it's a serious and important speech.
Now, the federal government does not impose a lot of these specific rules on school districts. And in fact, the president has gotten some criticism for speaking too theoretically and not actually proposing much. But there are some specific things now. For example, on this issue of how to assess teachers, if I understand the stimulus bill correctly, it has some new requirements, like for states to evaluate teachers partly based on the improvement of their students. Is that contained in the stimulus bill? Is that your understanding?
I think it's contained in two ways. One is a general requirement for the states to get the stimulus money. But second of all, there is a $5 billion additional fund, which will try to incentivize even further developments. But, you know, this is something, Brian, just so we explain it clearly, it looks at how the teachers move students forward and how they make progress. And as you said, it's one of several factors that you want to look at. But, you know, in New York City, we've done a lot of studies and analysis looking at different teachers with the same class size, the same seniority, and getting different results with students. So I think it's really an important line the way the president said it. He said to focus on how teachers affect student achievement. And that's really a sea change in the education discussion.
But in terms of paying the teachers on that basis, Governor Patterson was here a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about this clause in the stimulus bill, as you just described it, that there's a general requirement to get the stimulus money into New York State, that performance of students be one of the criteria for paying teachers. And he said he would reluctantly accede to that demand in order to get this needed stimulus money into New York State. But here is the governor on our show reacting to basically the same thing, the education secretary Arne Duncan's assertion that stimulus money and other education funding be linked to assessing teachers by student performance.
I heard the secretary say that in a meeting that the National Governors Association had with the president on Monday morning. But as the union has correctly pointed out from time to time, how do you assess educational performance from students who are in different areas and obviously with what you would call different degrees of difficulty. I think that's what they call it in diving competition. How would you assess a teacher who could go into a very difficult school and do a good job bringing the class up to, say, state average mm-hmm. results on standardized mm-hmm. tests? And then a teacher that's a little lazy in an affluent community where all the other teachers are doing well benefits from the location. So I don't totally understand what the secretary is talking about.
You think the comparison is impossible?
Off the top of my head, I would say it's a very difficult comparison to make.
So, Chancellor Klein, how would you answer Governor Patterson's question about the degrees of difficulty in measuring performance across them?
Well, first, let me say the governor's been a strong supporter of education reform. I've worked closely with him when he was in the Senate, when he was lieutenant governor, and this is an issue he cares about. And let me answer it this way. When I heard what he said, actually, somebody sent me a copy, and I was reading it. And my response is that I need to sit down with him and show him the work that we've done in New York City, because we do have data that addresses the very concern he had. And I agree with the concern he expressed, but I don't think that's what President Obama's Secretary Duncan had in mind. What I mean by that, Brian, is obviously if you start with kids who are at a lower level, then you can make real progress, and they still might not be at the same level that a kid who comes to school high-performing. We know kids bring very different talents and skills mm-hmm. to schools. But if you measure progress, it's apples to apples. And, in fact, one of the great things is in New York City, our teachers' union has agreed with us, and we have a pay-for-performance program. It's school-wide, but it's precisely based on the gains that they make. And this year, we gave out literally some $20 million in bonuses to teachers.
And are you going to have to make that even more specific based on this requirement of the stimulus bill? Are you going to have to go teacher by teacher, classroom by classroom?
I don't know yet, and I think, you know, people are still waiting for guidance from the federal government, but I suspect that the president is talking about a variety of different ways to make sure we effectively measure teacher performance. As I said, in New York City, we have a school-wide plan. Whether we would agree to move forward with a teacher-by-teacher plan is, I think, premature.
It's not clear whether that's required now by the federal government.
I think that's right. They're in the early innings. They've got to provide guidance and so forth.
Also in the stimulus bill, there's a fund that includes $5 billion in competitive grants for what they call innovative reforms, like improved use of data, assessing students more frequently to see how they're doing, and figuring out ways of measuring and equally distributing effective teachers. And as I gather, most of this grant money will go to the states, but $635 million of it is being set aside for districts. Do you have plans for New York City to apply on its own for that money?
We do, and we're working on that. And as you know, these are all things, I'm smiling because these are things you and I have talked about, you know, the use of data. In New York City, we've developed this ARIS platform, and I believe Secretary Duncan came to New York a couple of weeks ago, as you know, because we're doing precisely the kind of things that I think the federal government wants to support and would work with us to take it to a new height. So we will apply for that. There's also, as you pointed out, about $4.3 billion that goes to the states, and we would welcome the opportunity to work with the state to put in a proposal as well. We've been working with Commissioner Mills on a K-16 data system that I think would be terrific because few school districts can actually trace kids in college. But in today's environment, as President Obama said, college is what it's all about.
Is there any risk of the city getting less money if it applies on its own rather than as part of a state application?
I don't think it's either or, and I think we'd like to do both. And obviously, especially in these tough economic times, the more money we can bring to this city to improve educational offerings for our children and their families is critical. So we will move on all fronts.
Just on this evaluation of teachers based on student performance, one more time, my understanding is the state legislature passed a law last year specifically preventing districts from linking student test scores to teacher evaluations. So is state law now at odds with federal law?
Again, I don't think it's clear because I think the guidance hasn't been provided. And obviously, when the federal government makes clear what needs to be done, we will work with the state, work with the teachers union to make sure that we're in compliance.
New York City Schools Chancellor Joel Klein, my guest on WNYC. Were you surprised by this Obama speech? You know, this is what some people would think of as a more conservative agenda than your typical mainstream Democratic Party politician would come out with. Were you surprised?
I was very pleased by it. I know a lot of people in the administration, President Obama himself been talking about these issues, charter schools, something he's talked a lot about, pay for performance. In his State of the Union speech a couple of weeks ago, he talked about some of these principles, including removing teachers for non-performance. So I think he clearly gets it. I don't view it as a conservative speech. I mean, if you look at from the beginning, he started with focusing on high-quality pre-K programs. He looked at extended day and extended year. He compared us to Korea. He talked about higher standards. In Korea, you know, kids go to school about 30 to 35 days more than in the United States. And a lot of our kids, I think, would benefit from extended day, extended year. I'm sure some of them prefer their summer vacation, but I think we can work that out. And overall, I thought the speech was comprehensive and in some ways quite visionary and very progressive, because I don't think anybody I've ever met doesn't think there should be a great teacher in every classroom. And yet, everybody knows great teachers are inequitably distributed in America today.
Let me play this clip of the president talking about this longer school day, and then you'll tell me if you think you can sell this idea in New York City.
I know longer school days and school years are not wildly popular ideas. Not with Malia and Sasha. Not in my family, and probably not in yours. But the challenges of a new century demand more time in the classroom. They can do that in South Korea. We can do it right here in the United States of America.
Do you want a longer school year in New York City?
Yes. I mean, obviously we need to have the finances to do it. But, you know, the mayor did several of these things. We have longer school days in New York, and we've actually extended the school year by a couple of days. You've got to make sure we've got to be able to finance it. We'd have to obviously go through the processes to make sure people were on board. But I think the president is right, and I give him credit for bold leadership. I mean, I think he took the bit in his mouth on this one, Brian. He said, you know, it's not popular in my house. I mean, look, all of us love the vacation.
Would you need to install air conditioning in the public schools?
I mean, that might be part of it, although I have to tell you, I mean, I went to public schools in New York City for 13 years without air conditioning. It'd be optimal to have air conditioning, but we might have to consolidate some schools as we do for summer school. I mean, right now, some of our kids go to summer school, but air conditioning would be good. But what the president is saying, and I think it's important, is our global competitors are not going to wait around. And we have got to meet that competition. We're in this together. And extended day and extended year at places like KIPP are working very well. If you read Malcolm Gladwell's book, he looks very, very hard at how much more time a kid at KIPP gets.
But this is not on the table in anything but a theoretical sense in New York City, or do you have any plans to put it on the table?
No, it's not on the table now. We've already, as I say, done some stuff, but yeah. I would hope that there would be federal money that wouldn't be made available to support it.
Okay. You talk about global competition, and the president also talked about eliminating weak state testing standards. I think this is actually a very big issue that gets too little attention. Students do much better on state standardized tests, including in New York, than they do on the federal one, known as the NAEP, which is really the one that compares us to other countries. So just as other countries are racing ahead of us in math and science and other subjects, we're fooling ourselves into thinking we're improving with these easy state tests. Now let me play a clip of the president on this and then get your reaction.
Today's system of 50 different sets of benchmarks for academic success means fourth grade readers in Mississippi are scoring nearly 70 points lower than students in Wyoming, and they're getting the same grade. Eight of our states are setting their standards so low that their students may end up on par with roughly the bottom 40% of the world. That's inexcusable.
Chancellor Klein, your reaction, and how does it apply to New York?
I agree completely with President Obama. I have actually written an op-ed piece with Reverend Al Sharpton calling for national standards benchmarked against global standards. We're not doing anybody a favor by lowering the bar and saying kids are doing better. In New York, I think the standards have been improved. They eliminated the local diploma going forward, which I think was a good move. But I actually think we need to look at this as a nation and apply it to New York and everybody else. You know, the president said in his speech that there are kids in other countries who are doing work in the sixth grade in math that our kids are doing in the eighth grade. That's not a winning formula,
but,
Brian.
But I've read or been told, really, that even in New York, the state results do not match up with the NAEP, the national tests. And so our state's tests are not accurately measuring student achievement compared to the rest of the world in the same subjects. Do you disagree with that?
There's no question that the NAEP standards are higher standards. There's no question about that. So, for example, you would see in New York at the fourth grade you might be at 70% proficiency, whereas in NAEP you might be at a lower number. On the other hand, as the president said, there are some states that are way far away from NAEP. There are other states that are closer. But my view is exactly what the president said. We all got to get there. And there's no question that whether it's New York, whether it's Pennsylvania, Mississippi, or California, there's no purpose in lowering the bar.
So who is this on? Is this on you to revise the citywide standardized tests so that they match up with NAEP? Or is it on Albany? Who's it on? Is it on you?
No. The tests that we take in New York are state tests, but I think it's on the national government, and I think President Obama wants to show real leadership on this by benchmarking every state against meaningful national, indeed global, standards. But the tests we take, there are no citywide tests in New York anymore. They're only state tests.
All right. So this is a shout out to the State Education Commissioner to line up New York State's tests with the NAEP?
I actually think it's more than a shout out. I think it's something that the federal government really wants people to participate in and to figure out ways to incentivize it and to say to states, if you're willing to play ball and adopt tougher, higher standards, we're going to support you in that.
We're getting comments on our webpage about mayoral control. And here's one, Pablo from the Bronx. He writes, if mayoral control is extended, and the legislature is considering this now, it's up for renewal, how do you intend to improve the relationship between parents and their schools? Specifically, how can parents have a greater influence on their children's education and the decision-making process in the schools and districts, given the current Community Education Council's lack of real influence? And you know this has been an issue with parent groups around the city. They feel like they don't have the access to the levers of power since the centralization.
So I think one thing, we've got to make sure that we provide opportunities for parents to be heard. And at the school level, the most important opportunity is at the school leadership team. And parents should get involved in that. On the other hand, Brian, we have to have principals, ultimately, school leadership teams, the chancellor, the mayor, making the decisions. And I think fundamentally, school systems that do that work best. You know, if you look at what happened in Chicago under Arne Duncan, it was a city where the mayor had the authority to run the school system. If you look in Boston under Mayor Menino, now D.C., and I think this is catching on. I read an article in today's Wall Street Journal about other mayors wanting to move in this direction.
Mayoral control, yes. But, I mean, I read you one of the polite comments on the comments board. People blame you for being tone deaf to parents. And they say this is, you know, mayoral control is good in some ways. This is one of the bad things about it. Parents have lost their access in a meaningful way, and the central office, your office, has not been responsive enough to parents. So as you're looking for renewal of mayoral control, are you trying to mend fences in any way?
Sure. To the extent that we haven't done a good job, we should do a better job. And when you say that—
Do you acknowledge some of that?
Oh, I think we've made mistakes, surely. And I think I said at the outset, we've got to find a better way to engage parents.
What might that be?
Well, for example, I think we've got to make sure that there are clear lines of authority so a parent who doesn't get what he or she needs at the school knows exactly where to go, and we're going to work on that. I think we need to create more forums and more opportunities for people to be heard. But let me just be clear about something, that there are some people who say they disagree with what we're doing. You've raised this with me before about they don't like the testing, the very same mm-hmm. thing that President Obama actually embraced in his speech right. this week. But those people have been heard. They just have a different view.
Right.
And there are people, for example, when we find a failing school that's persistently failing, there are people who want to keep that school open. I'm not entirely sure why.
Do you think, and we have about a minute left, that there may be a class thing going on with who's loud and who's the most against the standardized test? Somebody told me, you can confirm this if it's true, that you get more complaints from the Upper West Side, District 3, than any other part of the city. And that what would go along with that is that parents in more immigrant districts with more really troubled schools, actually more like the imposition of these standardized tests more. Do you think there's a class thing going on?
You know, I've heard that. I haven't surveyed it, but certainly in my experience, I go to a lot of churches, community groups, and there's not the same pushback on testing. And in fact, if you remember when the mayor did the third grade promotion and said you had to pass the test to go on a fourth grade, I mean, the polls were very, very strong in favor of the mayor. And the same thing. When they surveyed parents recently in a Quinnipiac poll, there was like almost a 20-point gap in favor of mayoral control. So sure, there were people unhappy. This is New York City. Everybody has a lot of views. But in general, there's no question, I think, the citizens support the progress the schools are making. We need to do a better job, but our schools are moving forward.
Is the Upper West Side your number one neighborhood for complaints?
I don't measure it, but let me say this. There are some very vocal people on the Upper West Side. Like you, I get lots of emails from them. We've worked closely, actually did a rezoning up there with them, and I think it was very successful.
New York City Schools Chancellor Joel Klein, always appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.